And how many of you believe that improving your japa is important? And I was thinking this morning, immediately as you improve your japa, your Krishna consciousness goes up, but you don't have to wait for anything. It happens immediately. And practically, there's no other aspect of bhakti where you can get such immediate result as improving your japa. And the converse is true, right? When your japa is not good, what happens? Immediately, you go down. So what we're going to do in this seminar, this little 2 hours we have, is isolate some of the problems that are causing our japa to go down, some of the obstacles, and isolate things we can do to cause it to go up. But before I do that, I want to first emphasize the value of the holy name, how valuable or how important it is, and make you realize that, and how that has so much effect on your life. So what I'd like you to do is take out a piece of paper that we gave you, and on this paper, I would like you to write a number. And you can give this number, the topic for this number is my japa. Just put, right, you can write down my japa. And we're going to do a quick analysis of your japa. And this analysis will be on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being the best japa and 0 being the worst. And I'll give you some idea of how you can come up with a number. Think of an airplane. And the airplane is flying like this. That would be 5. And where's this airplane flying? Well, that depends. If it's like this, it's going up to Krishna. If it's like this, it's going down to Maya. So if your japa is at 5, it's neither really going up or down. It's kind of maintaining. Have you ever chanted rounds and you felt like, it wasn't really good, but at least I'm okay today? I don't think I'll run into any trouble. Or have you ever chanted any rounds and think, if I keep chanting like this every day, there's going to be trouble? Or have you ever chanted any rounds and thought, these are really good rounds. If I chant like this every day, things are going to be good on the up and up. I was thinking this morning, sometimes when we're chanting, we get in what I call the japa zone, where it's actually good. Have you ever been in the japa zone before? Anyone? It's just good. And all of a sudden, you're chanting, and it's like something like the time of day, the star, something happens, and you get out of the japa zone. It's like, what happened? That last round, 4 rounds were so good, and all of a sudden, my mind is wandering, I'm not tasting. So when we're in the japa zone, then it's, that would be over, anything over 5 is like you're in the zone. You're going up. So what I'd like you to do is just analyze. You can either analyze this morning if you were chanting, or yesterday, or last week, or last month, or in general, give yourself a score on the scale of 1 to 10, where you would analyze your japa at. Is it 5? Is it actually less than 5 generally? Is it 5.1? Now, if it were 10, you would realize your eternal form. And if it were 0, you probably wouldn't be here. So obviously it's obviously, probably in the 3 to 6 range, I would think, most 3 to 7. Well, Vaishya is probably 8.5, but we'll make an exception for him. But if it's 10, that means the holy name can reveal your eternal relation with Krishna, who you are in the spiritual world, what you do, what you wear, what your name is, how old you are. All that is revealed by the holy name. That would be a 10. And you're seeing Krishna, and you're crying in ecstasy as soon as you say Krishna. That's a 10. Okay, and so just take a second, write down a number. And this number is not going to be shown to anybody, so just, it's just for you, unless someone looks over your shoulder at your number. Okay. So now, does anyone not have a number still? Anyone need help with their number? You don't know? You're evaluating how you're chanting on a scale of 0 to 10. And 10 would be off the charts. 0 would be impossibly bad chanting. And 5 would be your chanting's not really helping you, but it's not really, it's kind of keeping you above water, but you're not really getting to the shore. Just kind of treading. Okay, so we all have a number. I give you the benefit of the doubt. If you're here, you're above zero. You can be at 0.1 if you like. So now, I'm going to ask you a question. Hypothetical scenario. We get an email from Goloka, and we get some very bad news from Lord Chaitanya. He's putting a moratorium. You know what a moratorium is? Moratorium means, who can explain a moratorium? It's like, for this example, yeah?
I guess it's you stop, something stops.
Something stops, okay. He puts a moratorium on improving japa. Wherever it is now, it can't get any better. And we don't know when he's going to remove the moratorium. Would that be a problem for anybody here with the number you have? Okay. The obvious point of this is that our normal japa is probably not as good as it should be. As good as we need it to be. As good as we'd want it to be. And Srila Prabhupada said, of all his instructions, the most important instruction is chanting Hare Krishna. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not that other instructions are not important, but that's the most important. If we were only given one spiritual activity of all activities, that would be the one. That's the basis from which we get our strength and energy to do all our other service. Not that the other services don't enthuse and enliven us, but this is the essential. That was Prabhupada's instruction. So I find it extremely interesting, and I'm not citing anyone as an example because I am also at fault with this, that the most important instruction we're given, we don't give it the most attention and energy. Because you're all here saying that your chanting is really not as good as it should be. And really, it should be better. Now put down a number in which you think you could possibly get to within the next few days if you really tried, even immediately. What would be, you know, if you're at a 0.1, could you get to a 2.5? If you're at a 5.6, could you get to a 7? Put a number where you think you could get to. And we're going to try to get there today. Or tomorrow. This is the number you want to. Because it's the most important activity, we want to give it the attention it needs. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10 in the priorities of your life, what priority does the holy name get? In your life, the priority. Not what it is, not what it's supposed to be, but what it is in your life. The priority in your life it gets. In other words, let's say you get up in the morning and then you look at the newspaper and then you read the news, you do your email, you chant around, you go to work. That means you're giving the holy name a low priority. And you're giving your email and the news a higher priority. Or you're chanting and you're shopping. So chanting is now getting equal priority with shopping. Probably less priority than shopping. Sometimes you understand the idea. So how many of you have given chanting number one priority in your life? What? 10 is higher. 10 means it's a top priority. It means that's the whole world could fall apart. That's always the priority. I could get fired from my job, whatever. Osama bin Laden visits my home, whatever. The japa, it doesn't stop. That's the first thing. I always take care of that first. How many of you? Let's see, we have one. Stand up, let's give her a big hand. So she's now the acharya. We want to follow her example. So we can see it's a problem for all of us. We're not at the level we want to be. We're not giving it the priority we need to give it to bring it to that level. So that's a problem. Yes or yes? Is that a problem? I can't hear you. Yes or yes? Yes. It's a problem. And it's not just for you. I do this everywhere, and everyone has the same problem. So that's what we want to deal with. So before we begin, I want to do a little exercise in helping you appreciate the Holy Name, and I want to tell a little story. Have any of you ever heard Prabhupada talk about spiritual brain tissues? Anyone heard that? Spiritual brain tissues. Prabhupada talks about tissues in the brain which help us understand spiritual life. So, let's create a hypothetical situation. Let's say spiritual brain tissues, which we nourish by our spiritual practice, by taking prasadam and so forth, are nourished, are necessary for our spiritual practice. We have to nourish spiritual brain tissues by eating prasadam and so on. So let's say, for example, hypothetically, there's a disease which deadens spiritual brain tissue. And all of a sudden, we all got the disease. Our spiritual brain tissues are now numb. They're non-functional. It's a rare disease, and everyone in this room just got this rare disease. And the result of this rare disease is that you can't chant Hare Krishna. Not only that, you need spiritual brain tissues just to think of the Maha Mantra. So you can't even think of the Maha Mantra. So you take your bead bag out and you try to chant and nothing comes out. And you think, well, I'll try Govinda Radhe. Nothing comes out. Your spiritual brain tissues are dead. You can't think of a mantra and you can't say it. And you think, maybe I'll become a Catholic. Hail Mary, Hail Mary. God. You know, it doesn't work. The spiritual brain tissues, it's not going to work. You want to do Allah Akbar and, you know, you try everything. You can't, it's, right? So now imagine you have this problem. You're calling your God brothers, your God sisters, your friends and go, Prabhu, I don't know what's going on. I can't chant. You want to move? Someone has to move. Someone who's, what kind of, what color car?
Whoever's parked over here, please look outside, move your car over to the, you can move it on the street.
So, the lane?
Yeah, that area adjacent to the other building.
Can we move to the,
it's here. Here you can park, but the other side.
Oh, okay. That would create a problem, right? But they can move onto the street.
Facing the shops or the side of the shops?
Both side of the shops as well as facing the shops. Because it's a business space.
So should we take a break, and everybody? Okay, we'll take a 5-minute break. Everyone, move your car, stretch, get some water, go to the bathroom. Okay, Hare Krishna. Jai, how are you? Jai. How are you? Yeah. They actually, this is a very big retreat center. They have a like room for like 110.
Okay.
Some retreat centers are only like 40, 50. This is 100. This is the first one we've done in the West Coast. So we'll tell you about the retreat in a little while. Okay, so
it's a 5-day from morning to
starts. It's actually 4.5 days. It starts Wednesday afternoon. Prasadam is in the afternoon, and the officially first meeting time is 6 o'clock, and then it'll end Sunday. We're supposed to finish around noon Sunday. Sometimes it goes a little later. Then we have prasadam. So at least it gives people an opportunity if they want to see where is it, if they want to leave around 1:30. There's two aspects of it. Giriraj Swami will be there, and he'll be speaking more philosophically understanding what the holy name is, understanding humility, and then I'll be doing the interactive parts. So I should just let me know when everybody's back. Jai. So how many came late and didn't hear the last section on being spiritual brain dead disease? Okay, I'll explain that again. We've created a hypothetical disease in which the brain tissues in your brain that control your ability to think and chant Krishna's name have gone dead. And you can no longer think of the Maha Mantra or speak it. So you take up your beads and you try to chant and you can't. Your brain can no longer function. It can't chant mantra. It can't even chant it in your mind. That's the situation we're in right now. We have this problem. We can no longer chant Hare Krishna. What would you do to cure that disease? How important would it be you to cure? How important would it be for you to cure that disease? If we had that disease, how important? How important? Very important. Extremely important. How much money would you pay to cure that disease? Would any amount be too much? No. In other words, it sounds like we're saying we would do anything to cure that disease, right? To be able to chant the holy name, right? Have you ever chanted the holy name as if you were bored to death and you'd rather be doing something else? Anyone ever done that? Now, isn't it interesting that practically we would give our life to be able to chant the holy name, and then when we're given the holy name, I'll chant later. Doesn't matter. I'll chant tonight. I'll do my email now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hey, Prabhu, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. So what I would like you to do now is imagine you're in this state when you've lost the ability to chant the holy name and you're around other devotees who are chanting. Could you imagine? You can't chant and you see some devotee and he's like this. And you can't chant and you're watching that. What would you be thinking? You'd be thinking, Prabhu, you don't understand. You have the holy name. I can't chant it. You have the holy name. You're throwing it away. You don't realize what you have here. I can't chant the name of... I can't do it, but you can. You don't. Do you understand? You have the holy name. What? What are you talking about? So, imagine you're in that situation now. And all you can do is reflect right now what the holy name has meant for you in your life. Because right now, today, you got this disease and you don't know how long it's going to last. In other words, I want you to write down what you appreciate about the holy name. Because you know, when you don't have it, you appreciate it more. So imagine right now, you're reflecting on what the holy name has done for you and how much you appreciate it and what it means in your life. And just write a little bit down. Write down what the holy name means to you, what you appreciate about it. You know, from the angle of vision of realizing now I can't chant, I've just lost it, and how you might feel if you lost it, and just reflecting on how it's affected your life, what it does for you, what you appreciate about it, what it means to you. If you just come in, you need to have a... If you just come in, we have paper and pen, and we're right now writing down what we appreciate about the Holy Name. Paper, pen, and... Yes. Whoever needs it, just raise your hand. I had the Holy Name. Now I can't chant anymore. Could you imagine that? Okay, you can do more of this at home. We're going to have to go on a little condensed program. Who would like to share something to inspire us? You liked? It's being recorded, so you're inspiring the world now. Hmm. Very nice. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
The way I feel now is when I wake and I enchant and I feel like my purpose is being realized. So I think if I were to lose that, it would feel like I lost all purpose to my life and just completely be gone.
Right. The Holy Name is your purpose. Very nice. Who else? Yes. You speak louder. Yes, very nice. How we could survive without the Holy Name. Yes.
It's the only real satisfaction and joy and happiness in life that's really, that really completely satisfies.
Jai. Well stated. Yes. Right. Hare Krishna. Jai. So, in other words, we all realize if we didn't have the Holy Name, that would be the greatest loss in our life. And we all can see how much the Holy Name means to us. And simultaneously, this very weird thing happens that we don't give it as much priority as we need to. The very thing that means everything to us somehow or other gets second place, third place, fourth place in our life. That is really the biggest problem. And it's not just for you, it's for everybody. Anyone who chants Hare Krishna on a regular basis is dealing with this problem. And if we can solve this problem, our spiritual life will go. like a rocket back to Krishna. And we don't have to wait. It'll happen immediately. So that's what we want to do today. So we want to look at some of the obstacles. And one of the things I've realized, two things that I've realized about chanting over a long period of time, which either you have already done or you're going to do if you continue chanting, is that anything you do day after day after day, you can become habituated to take it for granted. You can also become habituated to do it on a certain level and not improve it. And which more likely happens, you can become habituated for it to gradually go down. Habit is second nature. It's an unconscious activity. We all did a little exercise where you analyzed your chanting on what level it is, right? And the level that it's on now, it's likely going to stay on that level unless you do something. Didn't Einstein say that? Or the laws of physics, object in motion stays in motion unless Newton. So what's the exact law? Is that applicable to our japa? Our japa stays at the level without, unless we interfere and do something. Yeah, it's just, yeah, japa inertia. And what, one of the problems of this is the holy name is Krishna. And sometimes we take the chanting not as Krishna, but as a process. Because we've heard that. There are nine processes of bhakti, of which kirtan is one, or chanting. It's a process. So I'm doing a process. And the difficulty, when we think of chanting as a process, it becomes like any other process. It's just a formula. And if you think, well, if I do the formula properly, I'll get some result. The chanting of Hare Krishna is a relationship with you and the holy name. That's what's happening. There's a relationship there. Yes, it is a process, but the process is based on a relationship. And a lot of times we chant, and we're also going to do this here. We're going to show you things you can do to chant. But it's not just focusing on the things to do to make it better. It's focusing on the relationship. So it's nice to look at ask yourself the question, how am I doing in my relationship with the holy name? You made your score. That's your relationship. Your relationship with the Holy Name is your relationship with Krishna. Yes or yes? Okay, is everybody awake? We'll try that again. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Our relationship with the Holy Name is our relationship with Krishna. It's no different. So it's not just, I do the process, I sit straight, I breathe properly, and et cetera, and Krishna, somehow or other, it's kind of a side point there. It's the process. We're not looking at doing the process properly. We're looking at the relationship. How am I doing with my relationship to the Holy Name? How's my relationship with the Holy Name doing? That's what's going on when we chant. It's us, spirit soul. It's Krishna in His name. And unfortunately, it's also our mind. That's basically the three things that are going on when we're chanting. So we want to look at what we can do to improve our chanting. We have 1 hour and 40 minutes to improve our chanting. Are you ready?
Yes.
Can we do it?
Yes.
Okay, before we go, I'm going to give you a very amazing exercise that will transform your chanting tomorrow morning or the next few mornings. You're going to really like it. So Srila Prabhupada was once giving a lecture. And he was going, nish, nish, nom, nom, nish, nish, nom, nom, nom. And he was imitating improper chanting because he observed that in his disciples. And so he said, this kind of chanting is not fruitful. It's not going to produce the result because you're not chanting properly. You're not giving energy. You're not giving concentration. You're not hearing. You're not putting effort into it. He said, that is not the way to chant. And then Srila Prabhupada said, but it's better than not chanting at all because you've made a vow to chant, so at least you're keeping your vow. Right? You know, we all have vows, whether it's to yourself or to your spiritual master. Some minimum you want to chant every day, be it one round, even if it's one round, I'll chant one round every Saturday. It's something that you're committed to. So we're all committed to some level of chanting. So Prabhupada basically was saying, if you don't chant properly, it's not really fruitful. It's not going to produce the result. How many of you have chanted some rounds? At the end of those rounds, they were so bad you felt pretty much nothing, pretty much no different than before you chant. You ever experienced that? Yeah. I call that Novocaine chop. It's like we just got a shot of Novocaine and we don't feel anything, right? Because it's not that Krishna's automatically present in his name. He's present when his name is chanted properly. When it's not chanted properly, it just sounds like his name. Now, why is that? You could say, but it's Krishna's name. His name and Krishna are non-different. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, chanting is not lip deep, it's heart deep. It doesn't come from the lip. You say, what do you mean? My chanting doesn't come from the lip. What does that mean? I'm chanting. You know, Prabhupada said, chant properly. Pronounce every syllable. What do you mean it doesn't come from the lip? If you have a friend and you want to express affection to them, you express it with your lips, right? Or wrong? You express it. Where does that first expression come from? Yeah. The lips are just expressing what's in your heart. It's just a vehicle. So if I say, Vaish, I really like you. I really like you. You are really cool. I really like you. And Vaish will be thinking, does he really mean that? Right? If I say, Vaish, I just want to let you know, you are one of the dearest devotees to me. I am like completely inspired by you, et cetera, et cetera. And he's Vaish is going, oh, God, my, I'm not that great. And, you know, I know I'm great, but, you know, you're like, I'm not that great. So the point is, he's feeling something, obviously, because I'm feeling it, right? So when you're chanting, what do you think Krishna is feeling by your chanting? I love you, I love you, I love you. We can't fool. It's not a process. It's not a number. It's not a numbers game. Oh, I chanted 4 rounds. Doing good, 28 minutes. Ooh. Maybe I'll get the next 4 done in 22. I'm doing good. Bravo, I'm doing really good. I'm down to 22 minutes. Is that good?
No.
Maybe it is, but not necessarily. We're communicating with Krishna, right? So when we chant that way, when we are chanting and we don't mean it, it's just coming from the lip and not the heart, that's why we feel nothing after we finish our rounds. Because nothing was going into it. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage japa in, no Krishna comes out. In imitation, nothing, right? Long, long time ago, Paul McCartney sang a song and said, the love you take is equal to the love you make, yeah, love you give, yeah. You get what you give. So we're getting back what we're giving in our chanting. And we experience it immediately in 1 second. Either giving or not giving, we experience it. So that is why Bhaktisiddhanta said, chanting, I'm going to write this on the board here because it's an important point. Okay, we need a scribe who has good handwriting and knows how to spell simultaneously. We need someone who can do both. You can choose the colors according to the meaning. And you don't have to use one color. So you decide. So we want to say chanting is not lip deep. Lip deep. Chanting is what? Heart deep. Chanting is not lip deep. Yeah, lips are red, so we use red. And heart's red. Yeah, that was a good choice. Let's give her a big hand. She chose the right color. Chanting is not lip deep, it's heart deep. Lip deep, D-E-E-P, not D-I-P. Deep, D-E-E-P. Deep, I'm saying deep. Chanting is not lip deep. Chanting is heart deep only. Okay. Yeah, so That's why we can hear the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, but it may not be, Krishna may not be there. It's not a guaranteed process. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. So, we are going to, okay, so I was originally telling you that Prabhupada gave this lecture and he was making that point. That you're chanting, but you're not chanting properly, so it's you're not getting the result, but at least you've committed to chant. So I came up with an idea, a word, and I thought, we could call this courtesy japa. Because out of courtesy to the vow, we do the japa. We may do it terribly, but we do it. Just like perhaps I've committed to a friend to help them do something, to help them clean their house. And I don't really want to do it, so they call, you can sit down, that's for now. Thank you. So I'll say, okay, I'll come and help you clean. And then I go over and help them clean, but I'm not into it. My mind's somewhere else, I'm busy, I'd rather be doing something else, so I don't do a good job. So I'm going there out of courtesy because I committed, but I do a terrible job. And my friend can see that I'm not into it. So that idea. So who could think of some examples of what of a type of chanting that would be considered courtesy japa? Okay, yeah, okay. Why don't we put courtesy japa up there? Who could think of an example? Driving and chanting. How many of you drive and chant? Admit it. Raise your hand. How many? Have you ever done that? Driving and chanting. Driving japa. Yeah, that's one of the most common, which is extremely difficult to the idea is you have to be in a situation in which you can focus. And if there's a lot of traffic and you're chanting, it's very difficult to focus. Of course, if it's totally impossible to chant and you spend a lot of time in your car, what can be done? But ideally, that's not the best place to chant. Unless you're on an open road and there's no traffic and there's nothing to distract you. Yes? Yeah, right, yeah.
Would you recommend chanting while you're driving on japa beads still or not on japa
beads? Depends how much, you know, where you are. And I do a lot of traveling, but I'm on open roads and I don't have to focus. But, you know, around here in traffic, it's, you know, you can feel it out.
I heard from someone that it is really risky to leave your bag.
Yeah.
I think some accidents also happen.
It's possible. But I don't, okay. But that's another issue, okay. What else?
Talking to people.
Talking to people. Prabhu, how are you doing? Well, let's do a skit. Who wants to do a skit? Volunteer, any actors, actresses? You want to do a skit? I need one person, one volunteer. So this is how we do it. Stand up. We're going to talk. Well, when I talk, you chant. When you talk. Prabhu, I haven't seen you since Texas. How are you doing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, yeah, you know, and my wife's over. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Yeah, Florida's really good. Nice weather. Keep chanting. Nice weather. Prabhu, you won't believe what happened. Swami Maharaj ran off with a young girl. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Mama, you should see, she's beautiful. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. Blonde, blue eyes, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. All right, anyway, thank you, get the idea. Let's give him a big hand. Hare Krishna. So how many of you have ever done that? It's very... not very nice to the person you're talking to, is it? To chant while they're trying to talk to you. Yeah, not very nice to Krishna either. So who can think of another? So what do we call that? Yeah, talking, all right. Who can think of if you can come up with a funny name for any of these, we can have a reading japa. Yeah. Reading japa works if you have two heads. Because you can read with one head. And you can chant with the other because you have two minds and they can be in two places at once. But if you only have one, then you can only really be in one place or the other. Reading japa is very efficient because we don't have enough time to chant all the rounds and read, right? So if we can do them both, we can multitask, we can save time. Because we're all really busy these days, right? Doing all kinds of important things that take away our time from the thing that's really important, right? Yes or yes? Yeah. Yeah, we're all in the same boat. I'm in the same boat also, yes. Who has another form of courtesy japa? Mindless japa. Okay, how about this one? I got a solution for this. I'm going to invent a robot, and the robot's going to stand like this, and you put the beads in his hand, and beads move, and you make a tape of yourself chanting japa. That will give you 2 hours a day extra to watch television, right? Do your email and read the newspaper. You'll save 2 hours a day and go shopping. All very essential activities for us. So sometimes when I chant mindless japa, I feel like that robot because I'm chanting and my mind is doing somewhere else. Where does the mind go when we chant? What does it do? Some examples. Work, planning out your schedule, working on your projects. I started a business years ago. I was doing my bookkeeping during japa. I deposited this much. I got to pick out this much. I'm going to make this much. All my calculations during japa. That's a pretty good thing to do during japa, right? That really helps, doesn't it? Does that help? No. Have any of you done things as crazy as that? Planning and scheming and... Krishna, I like you so much. Yeah. Yeah, keep you awake, right? So Krishna, you're so nice. Your name is so sweet. I like you so much that when I sing your name, I do my bookkeeping. Be here now. There's a book called Be Here Now. When you chant your japa, be here now. It's a problem of attention. I want to give you a principle, a very important principle. It's called creating a sacred space. You can write that down, sacred space. What a sacred space is, and this is extremely important for those who don't live in a temple. A sacred space is creating an environment, both external and internal, in which you can optimize your chanting. What would be the optimal internal environment? So as she's saying, the optimal internal environment would not to be thinking about what I'm going to do today. Would not be planning a project. Would not be thinking about what happened yesterday when so-and-so said something I didn't like and I felt like punching them in the face. Or I'm upset about something. Or would not be thinking that at 3 o'clock I have to go to the doctor, at 4 o'clock I have to take my car in to change the tires, at 6 o'clock I have to go shopping, I have to cook. It wouldn't be, that was not the optimal internal environment. And we were at Vaishya's, staying in Vaishya's room, he has a little sign on the door, it says, do not disturb. I said, that's the sign I'm going to hang on my mind when I chant my rounds. The do not disturb sign. Hang that on your mind. And then the devotee, you know, in the hotels they have do not disturb on one side, and then what's the other side say? It's okay to come and clean, or come and clean my room. So then the other devotee said, we need the other side also, simultaneously. Do not disturb and clean my room. Clean my heart, do not disturb. So that's the, we want to create an internal environment. If I'm in a chant and I'm in a situation where I have to go to work 20 minutes, in 20 minutes from now, what happens? I think of all the things that I have to do to get ready to go to work, right? So the ideal internal environment and external environment would be to chant way earlier when I have to go to work, because then I don't have to think about what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to take for lunch. The closer we get to the time we have to leave, the more we're thinking of those things. Yes or yes? So, we want to create an internal environment where we don't have to think of those things. And sometimes the external environment also helps. So in this, creating the sacred space, in this scenario, would be, I need to start chanting a lot earlier than I have to go to work. That's my sacred space, or that's my sacred time. Because the closer I get to work, the more I think about what I have to do today and what I have to do to get ready. And that's what I'm meditating while I'm chanting. And I'm not really meditating on Krishna. Another aspect of sacred space, I'll give you an example. You're back in college. If you're not, if you've already graduated, imagine you're back in college. You're working on your doctorate, right? It's getting down to the line. There's a lot of work, or finals are coming up, something like that. And your friends are having a party, and you think, "Well, I'll just bring all my books to the party and I'll study there." Is that a good idea? I think that's why they created this thing called libraries, right? Because libraries are pretty much an ideal environment. Even if you're home, you might turn on the television. You might call your friends. You might decide to cook something when you really don't need. You might decide to do so many things. You go to the library, it's an ideal environment, right? So imagine you're in a car with a few other devotees and you didn't get up early and chant your rounds and they did, so they're all there talking. And they're, you know how devotees get, they're funny and joking and this and that, and you're trying to chant. Is that a good environment or a bad environment? Bad. Have any of you been in that environment before? Very frustrating, isn't it? Right? So in that environment, on a scale of 1 to 10, the quality of your chanting is automatically limited by that environment. It can't really get over a 3 or a 4. I mean, you put all your energy that would normally get you to an 8 in chanting and all your focus and attention in that environment, you might get to a 3.5. Right? And the whole time you're chanting, you're thinking, will you guys just shut up? Right? So that brings it down to like a negative 1 there after you've made all those apparatus, and now you can't chant at all. You guys made me make the apparatus because you're talking. So it's obvious to see that there's certain environments which are conducive for chanting, that automatically your chanting is going to be better, in certain environments where there's just a barrier. You can't get any better in this environment. If you go for mall shopping japa, how good can your rounds be while you're shopping in the mall? They're limited. Ooh, Govinda, it's on sale. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Wow, and it's, I always love those blue shoes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How good can it be? How much can you focus? Hare Krishna, oh my God, that's only $199. Right? How good can it get? Could maybe get to a 4 in between shops, in between sales? So sacred space is to consider what would be the ideal place. Maybe for you it's walking. It's a time, it's a place. Maybe it's in front of your altar. Is the ideal sacred space after a hard day's work, 11 o'clock at night, after dinner at 9:30 when you overate? Is that the ideal way to chant your rounds? No. What's happening? You're going to have to put in a tremendous amount of effort to get to a 3 in your chanting. Rather, put in a tremendous amount of effort and get to a 6 or 7 in your sacred space. You see? You're just going uphill. Why? It's useless. So sacred space is very valuable. This is one of the important lessons of this. And the internal sacred space. I have created an internal sacred space which tells me, which I programmed in me, created the habit that when I think of something else while I'm chanting, lights go off. Because I've made a commitment when I chant not to plan, not to scheme, not to think about what I did yesterday, what I'm going to do later, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, who I'm going to talk to, the phone calls I have, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to think of any of that. I'm just going to chant Hare Krishna. I've made that internal commitment. That's my internal sacred space. And we can all make that commitment. Right? Is there anyone who can't make that commitment? To create an internal space that when I chant, that's what I do. Yeah, but my point is, if you're conscious of it when it comes, then very soon you'll be conscious. You say, oh no, I promised myself I wasn't going to do that. The original point I'm making is we develop habits. And if we don't interfere with those habits, then guess what happens? We're going to be chanting this way next year. I'm going to come back next year and go, if we don't do this work now, I'd come back next year and go, how's your chanting? We're about the same as last year, more or less. 4.3, 5.1, 3.2. It's the habits. It's continuing. Well, that's what I do. I chant a half hour before work while I'm thinking about what I'm going to do at work. And I come home and dinner and I, you know, put my kids to bed. And when I'm half asleep, after I watch a movie, I chant. Try to finish my chanting. Or I do it in between work. You know, while email. There's a lady named Yadunath. He's a comedian. He said, you know, my left hand got really strong since I became a devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So that's another form of courtesy japa. It's left-hand exercise. So that's not part of our... So if we create a sacred space, what is the ideal? So what I'd like you to do right now, all of you, is write down on your paper where your sacred space isn't. Those places which kind of guarantee that you're going to chant bad rounds if you chant them there. Either a time of day, a place, an internal consciousness, whatever it may be. What are those ways of chanting or places which would be not sacred to you? Which kind of guarantee you bad japa? Could be a time of day. If I don't chant before 8 o'clock, I don't chant well. So for you, your non-sacred space is after 8 o'clock. Right? Or when I chant when I'm driving, that's not my sacred space. That's guaranteed I won't chant well. And you could have many non-sacred spaces. The mall, the grocery store, the car, when the kids are up in the morning, you know, late at night. Front of the television. How many do television japa? Then you got to be really Krishna conscious to do that one. Okay, now I would like you to consider where your sacred space, if you don't have one, where it should be. What would be the ideal environment for you to chant? What time of day, where, how, whatever. A walk in the park, you know, lunch break at work, I'll go to this park, you know, whatever. Where's the sacred space? It's probably not in front of your desk when other people are talking that you can hear. It's not in the car on the way to work if people are talking. On the bus, wherever your job is being compromised. You want to get out of that and go into the ideal environment. Well, automatically, with less effort, you'll chant better japa. Why make it hard for yourself? So, you write down your sacred space. Is this helpful for you? Yes, okay. And I'm going to tell you something else. We only have 2 hours, so I can't tell you everything. But I'm just trying to pull the essence of what I think is important for me. I would like you, in your own, let's give an example. This is kind of funny. How many of you are familiar with counseling, like marriage counseling? What goes on in counseling between two people? It could be between a husband and wife or two coworkers. Well, for those of you who aren't familiar, basically what goes on is that you have two people and a counselor or a mediator, if you're doing mediation. And each person gets to speak. And they kind of speak what's on their mind, what they're feeling. So if it were marriage counseling, for example, the wife might say, you're supposed to come home at 7, and half the time you come home at 8:30. And you don't even call me. So that would be something, you know, it's something that's bothering her that the husband keeps doing. And the husband might say, you know, I work and you don't, and every time I come home, the house is a mess. Dinner's late, I don't appreciate it, it's hard for me, the job's hard, I work hard, I want to come home to clean house, the kids are dirty, there's noise, you know. So they're going back and forth. You know, and sometimes it gets really bad. I don't appreciate that you have a girlfriend. You know, you say you love me, but you have a girlfriend. And whatever else is going on. So now imagine we're in counseling with Krishna. So here's Krishna, here's you, and Krishna speaking. You say you love me, but you chant while you watch television. And some of those shows are not really Krishna conscious. If you know what I mean. You say you love me, but why don't you think of me when you chant my name? You say you love me, but you chant, you don't feel anything. So the point of this exercise is I would like you to write down what are some of the things Krishna might say to you about your chanting that he doesn't like, and also what he might say about the chanting that he does like. What does he like about your chanting? He doesn't like the fact that you're chanting while you're going shopping, or you're chanting late at night, or you're not giving a priority. And what does he like about your chanting? What do you do right? You want to do the exercise? Thank you. What you're doing good and what you're doing bad. What are the things that are preventing you from chanting well, chanting better? And what are the things that are already good that you can capitalize on, that you can focus more on, that you're doing right? We didn't go off through all the forms of courtesy japa. Pronunciation. I think you're chanting my name, but I'm not really sure if it is. It kind of sounds like it, but if you need more paper, anyone need more paper, just raise your hand and someone will come and give it to you. You say you love me, but when you say my name, it puts you to sleep. My name is very boring, isn't it? How do you think that makes me feel? When you think of me, you go to sleep. Krishna's a person, he has feelings. How many of you have a problem with chanting and being on the internet at the same time? Sorry? Chanting and being on the internet, multitasking. Yeah. Okay, you get the idea. You can do more of this later. I wanted just to, pronunciation is a problem, right? For some people. And we do this in the retreat. We actually pair up and you chant and someone listens and they give you feedback on your chanting. So there was this devotee and he was leaving his body and he was chanting and everyone was around him, babu, chant, you know. So it was like a really auspicious departure. And then he's chanting Krishna's name. So you chant Krishna's name at the time of death, you go to Krishna, right? So he leaves his body and he gets to this place and it's not the spiritual world. And he's like, oh my God. And he's like, it's obviously people don't look like the spiritual world. And these three guys come up to him and they go, yes, yes, yes. And he goes, what? He goes, what's going on here? And he goes, well, you've been, the three guys said, you've been calling our names. And that's why we brought you here. And he goes, well, what are your names? And the first guy says, my name's Nish Nish. The next guy comes up and goes, my name's Wam Wam. And the first one and the last one comes up, and my name's Adi Adi. Nish Nish Nam Nam Adi Adi, Nish Nish Nam Nam Adi Adi Nish. That's why we brought you here. So, you don't want to go to Nish Nish Ram Nam Adi Adi Loka. And then they tell him, they say, you know, about 40 years ago, we started getting a lot more people up here than ever before in history. Yeah? Like way more. I don't know what's going on. I think maybe our number is similar to Krishna, Rama, and Hari. And you know, you got the wrong number. But if you want to go to Krishna, Rama, and Hari, we have a solution. We created a japa retreat for you on this planet, on Nishloka, and we'll teach you how to chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, now I'd like everybody to stand up. The reason I would like you to stand up is I want to make sure everybody's still breathing and alive. So please put your hands to the ceiling and as loud as you can, chant after me. Goranga! 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 Okay, is anybody here that's not alive? Okay, good. You can sit down. All right. So I would like, no, actually don't sit down, stand up. We need everyone to find a partner, and the partner you have to find is somebody you don't know well, and I don't know if that's possible here. Find someone you know, you don't know that well. Is that a problem? Or do everybody know everybody really well? You all know each other, but as far as possible, you all need to find one partner. As far as possible, find someone you don't know that well. Okay? And obviously not your husband or wife. The Raj. So this is two. Each person, you should have one partner. Whoever doesn't have a partner, raise your hand. Okay, you need a partner here? You have a partner? Swamiji needs a partner here. Who doesn't have a partner? Raise your hand. Okay, you two? Okay. Ramai, Swami? Yeah? You two are partners. Okay, everybody sit with your partner. Sit down with your partner. So it's two in every group. Okay? Is there anyone who doesn't have a partner? Okay. So this is what I would like you to do. Everybody listening? Everyone listening?
Yes.
Everybody listening?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. So this is what I'd like you to do. You've written down some things, where your sacred space isn't, where your sacred space is. You've written down a number where your japa is and a number where you think it could be. You've written down some things that you're doing well and some things you're not doing well. I would like you to tell your partner why it is important for you to continue and maximize doing the things well that you're doing, and why it's important that you stop doing the things that are hurting your japa. And in telling them why it's important, explain to them the consequences of doing that. What happens when I do the negative? It's important for me to stop chanting my japa in front of television, because when I chant japa in front of television, this happens. There's a consequence. And then take that consequence down like a year or two or three. And if I continue doing that for the next 20 years, this will be the consequence. And not only a consequence, but tell them how it makes you feel. After I chant my rounds in front of the TV, I don't feel like I'm full of chit. I feel like I'm full of... Tell them how you feel. I don't feel full of ananda, full of chit, full of knowledge. I feel nirananda, achit. Is it nirananda, achit, and asat? I don't feel blissful. How do I feel? I feel discouraged. When I get up late and don't chant, I get my obstacles. I get up late. When I get up late, I don't chant well. And I feel guilty. I feel discouraged. So tell them how you feel. And tell them how you will feel if you do the positive. If I get up early and chant, how will I feel? I feel inspired. I feel strong. So it's very important to connect with your feelings in terms and connect with the consequences. Look at it down the road. If I continue chanting this way for another 5 years, what's going to happen? What if I improve myself, what would happen? And if I allow the habits to continue, they could get worse, what would happen? So we need to pick a partner A and B. So decide amongst yourself who will be partner A, and partner A, raise your hand. Oh, partner A is raise your hand. Okay. So partner A, okay. So keep your hands raised, all right? Partner A, raise your hand. Okay, partner A, I would like you to tell partner B, you go first. And partner B, I would like you to tell partner A, Prabhu, whatever you say, I will do. Okay, so we'll give you about 5 minutes. Partner B, you begin. We'll give you a few minutes, maybe like 5 minutes, and then I will tell you when to change, and then it will be partner's A turn. Okay, so please begin. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
5 minutes each. But if you finish, you can switch. So we should be on change partners now. So we're on partner A. Okay, so B, you're finished. You can do this after I leave if you haven't finished. So now we go to partner A, and you begin speaking.
Said he's not very senior in this, so he suggested I talk to you. I said we'll be deviating from the rules.
Yes, definitely. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Rama, Rama, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hari 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 Ram, 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 Hari 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 Krishna, Hari Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hari 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 Ram, 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 Hari Hari. Krishna, 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 Hari 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 Ram, 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 Hari Hari. Krishna, 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 Hari Hari. Hare Ram. Only I'm telling you. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna, Jai. So I'd like you all to thank your partners for being such good partners. You can give them a big hug if you want. Okay. How many of you found this exercise helpful in clarifying? So, what I'd like to do now, we need our scribe. Where did she go? Yes. I would like you to share with us first on a new board. You can put a line down the middle. And one side will be how we feel when we chant good rounds. And the other side will be how we feel when we chant improperly, when we neglect, when we don't put energy and concentration and effort. So you can just put a line down the middle. So, and you can share either the positive or negative, because that's one of the things we ask you to do. So who would like to share? Either. So put positive and negative. Positive is green, I guess. Oh. Negative is red. In America it is anyway. I don't know about India. In India, red is positive. All in, you know. Seems like the religious, there's a lot of red. A lot of red, yeah. But you're in America now, so you. Yeah, stoplight. So this is international standard now, right? Green is go, red is stop. Okay, so positive or negative? How do you feel if you chant well? How do you feel if you don't chant properly?
Negative, rushed.
Rushed. That's called beat the clock japa. How fast can I chant? Just a feeling of getting it over with. Let's get this relationship over with and move on to bigger and better things. Anxiety. Anxiety caused by not chanting properly and kind of a feeling I could have done better. Yes. Yes. Cheated? Cheating? Feel like I'm cheating Krishna? Yes?
Not being sincere.
Just a feeling of lack of sincerity. Dissatisfied. I mean, you feel dissatisfied after some. Yeah, it's. You know, this is very. I would like to add to that guilty. How many of you feel guilty? Could have done better. This is really a bad way to start the day. Show business, yeah, just a show, like a fraud, ashamed. Yeah, Krishna will reciprocate with my heartless feeling, yeah. Krishna's kind of out of the picture now, yes. Scheming, how to get the rounds done and multitask and just... thinking of other things, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Attraction to mundane things, yes? Not serious. Repent. Feeling bad that you've done it. Yeah. So let's say we had some, of course, well, this list might not end here. You guys are really good at bad chanting. So, this is like actually the best group I've ever met. So let's say we invited some new people in now, and we said, we would like to introduce you to the chanting, and if you chant these names of God, the Maha Mantra, these sacred syllables which have been chanted by sages and saints for millions of years, this is how you'll feel. Okay, what happened here? So... let's do the positive because just we got to balance it. Happy.
Calm and stress-free.
Stress-free, calm, satisfied, wise, novice, truthful, awake, detached, yeah. Confidence, fearless, determination, completeness, respectful, yeah. Protected. Protected. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Prabhupada said, you hear what she's saying? She's saying it's the good chanting is producing more good chanting. The bad chanting is producing more bad chanting. Prabhupada said, chanting, what do you get from chanting? He said, you get more chanting because you get a taste. So when you chant, you want to chant more. But the problem is, when we don't chant well, she's saying the bad chanting is producing more bad chanting. It's creating the habit. The boredom produces more boredom and more... Sometimes, well, before you say anything, sometimes I actually do. Sometimes... when I'm not in the zone, and I'm not, are you in the japa zone? When I'm not in the zone, or I can see I'm in an environment which I know I cannot chant well in this environment, even though I need to finish my rounds, Since I've become conscious of this, I don't. I can't chant here. It's not worth it. I'm not going to waste my japa. I just stop. I'll do it later. I'll find another situation. Yes.
Just to follow up on what she said, that in, we often think that if we chant good japa, then during the day we'll be clear and we'll be able to do our service well and things like that. But in better days, when I was a brahmachari living in the temple, it became that if I did my service well during the day, I could look forward to good japa.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. So that's coming up next. Coming attractions, where is it? Yes, that will come in the next session. And everything you do affects your chanting. But so, this, I just, for now, faith, yeah. So the point of this, we could probably go on a lot. And as we're saying, it's reinforcing what we call the domino effect. One thing affects the other. When you look at this, what you can get out of chanting, both positive and negative, what does that say to you about the morning you sit down and chant your rounds? What does that speak to you?
You have a choice.
You have a choice. Sometimes what happens for many of us is we don't think we have a choice. Most of us chant on a certain level, like day to day. It's not like yesterday, wow, I was at a 9.9, and today I'm at a -3. It's not like that. It's usually 4, 5, 5.1, 3.8. It's usually that, around there. You know, it tends to be around the same. And what happens for many of us, if not all of us, is we begin to think subconsciously, that's about as good as it gets for me. Because I'm special. I'm especially fallen. There's no one really that's got all the problems that I do. I'm a unique individual. And if you talk to any devotee, they'll all tell you, nobody has the problems that I have. I've got this special, I just can't control my mind, or I just can't get up early, or I just can't. And every devotee you talk to in confidence will tell you that they think they've got some problem that the other devotees don't have. The problem is, everyone's telling you the same problem that everybody has. The mind, lust, anger, greed, the mind's not controlled. We all have the same problem. So often what happens is we think my chanting can only be on this level. It's about where it is, and that's about as good as it's going to get for me. Maybe 10, 20 years it'll get better. That's not true. That's not an altar. And it's essential to improving our japa to know that we have the choice. And as it said, not choosing is also a choice. Have any of you heard that before? Not choosing is also what? A choice. I'm choosing not to improve. So we're giving you some tools, some ideas, which you can apply to improve. So you're not going to have that robot chanting for you, right? You're actually going to do the improvement. So as Vaishya is saying, it's a choice. And the choice we're confronting is every morning we can get either one of these two results. But that's a powerful meditation, to know that every morning I sit down, this is potentially what's going to happen. And if the negative happens long enough, what do you think is going to happen to your japa? Imagine you went through that experience every day, that negative. You think you'd still be chanting 2-3 years from now? Why would you? That's like you're like starting your day on a very negative note. But if you experience the positive, what's going to happen? Your devotion life's going to increase and it's going to get better. So it's a very powerful meditation when you sit down to chant to realize the potential effect of your chanting. And I'm going to offer you an important tool, but I want to ask, should we take a break, or is everybody still awake and ready to go? Anyone need to go to the bathroom, or are you ready?
Yes.
Goranga! Goranga! Okay, you guys are ready. So, this is very important key. How important is it?
Very
important. Thank you. This is a very important key that I have discovered, and it is so simple. It's so simple that it's almost like stupid to say it, but we bypass this principle. When you are going to do something which is important and you want to do it well, generally you do some preparation in advance. For example, if you were going to an interview to a very important job that you really wanted, that was something you really liked doing and was going to pay you more than you're making now, would you prepare for that interview?
Yes.
Would you go out and buy the right clothes and go over what you're going to say and rehearse. And of course, how many of you sit down and chant your rounds with no consciousness at all when you enter? Just put your hand in your bead bag and begin. Nish nish nom nom adi adi nish nish nom nom adi adi. Very common. How many of you? Just like we just it's why? Because when you do something every day, what happens? Become robotic, habitual, right? One little thing can make a major difference. And I'm going to tell you that one little thing, but first I want to do an exercise. Because it'll help you. And this is the exercise. No, I'll tell you. It's okay. No? Let's do the exercise. Okay. This is kind of a summary of the work we've done. I'm going to give you an assignment tomorrow. And your assignment is tomorrow morning, which is Sunday, so you can all do this. I want you to chant, or make the effort to chant, the best rounds you've ever chanted in your life. What we say, off-the-chart rounds. You may not get to 10, but you're shooting for it. You're shooting for 10 tomorrow. Is everyone willing to make the effort to do it? Shoot for 10 in your japa. To make this, consider the best day you ever had for japa. You want to go beyond that. You want to go to a level of japa that you would normally think is impossible for you to chant. Why? Because you have a choice to do it better, right? You can do it. You can at least make the effort. We're talking about effort. Result may be one thing. We want to make the effort to chant the best japa we've ever had. So now, what I'd like you to do is go back to your partner and give you each a few minutes and tell your partner exactly what you're going to do tomorrow, what you have to do, which is kind of consolidating the things we've gone to and making it practical. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to chant here. I'm going to do this, control my mind. But whatever it takes, whatever you think you need to do to get your japa off the charts, impossibly good, tell your partner. We'll give you each a minute or two to make your plan for tomorrow, okay? So we can begin now. Begin with partner A, and then just take a few minutes, and then change, or I'll tell you when to change. finished? Okay, we should be on partner B now. Give partner B a chance to speak if you're not on partner B yet.
Coming to my house. Oh. I have to go help my
okay.
wife clean. We
okay.
have a granddaughter over.
Okay. That was nice seeing you.
Very good seeing you.
So you're going to come to the retreat?
Yeah, we're planning to come. I have to. I'm sorry.
You need a...
Huh? I have to. Oh, okay.
This is... You need this? That's. You can register if you haven't. Or you can mail that in.
Yeah, this is an extra copy?
Yeah. You register it. There's a deadline to register.
What's the deadline?
It's already passed, but if you do it now, because I've come here, and it's so you can just do it this weekend, then you won't have to pay the late fee.
Okay.
It's easier. You can call or do it online, whatever you want, or use that. And then I guess I'll see you on the email. Other than that, huh? Okay.
You know, my father also lives there. I don't see him very much, and he lives in Indio.
Uh-huh.
Not too far from there, I think.
Yeah.
During the retreat, it wouldn't be possible, like, he could come over and visit in the evening or something like that. Better if we wait.
Probably better you went. Oh, you have a car or no?
Yeah, we'll have a car. We'll rent a car, yeah.
Then me. You could. You play by ear.
Yeah.
There's time.
It would be nice if you could meet Giri Ramaswamy or something like that. You know.
You'll kind of see the mood. It's not. It's kind of like it's very isolated.
Yeah, it's a retreat. Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe on Sunday afternoon. There's maybe
yeah.
Sunday afternoon. It would be better.
I'm trying to cultivate him, but I don't have a very close relationship with him.
Some of your obstacles. You've isolated some of the things you do well. We've noticed how we feel when we do it well. When we don't do it well. And we made some plan of how we can improve. So who would like to share whatever you're understanding, realizing, experiencing, what your intention is? Who would like to share? Anybody? You're all talking so much, you must have something to say to the group. So what happens is when you're speaking, you're only speaking to another person. So they're the fortunate one to hear you, but we all want to hear you. So as many of you that are willing to share, the better. Yes.
I think one thing which I've decided for preparation for tomorrow morning is to remind, make that space ready.
Oh, very good.
And mentally just prepare myself as to what I need to do the first thing when I get up, so that I don't have to do that tomorrow morning. Eventually, I get up and I start. Okay, now I have to do this and this and this, and then I'll be able to chant. So I do all that today night, so that I just get up the first thing in the morning, follow that sequence of things that I have to do, and just
Very good. Krishna's given you intelligence. Now I want to say something about that. What you can all do is whatever your intention is for tomorrow, you can write that down tonight, a half hour before you go to bed. And the reason is your subconscious is connected to your hand when you write. And your mind processes at night. It filters out. And this will program your subconscious. I did this during the japa retreat the night before we did 64 rounds. And I swear, well, one of the things I wanted was that it would go flow. The holy name would just flow through 64 rounds. And that 64-round day was actually easier than most 16-round days because I did that at night. And it was just, it's just like everything I had planned the night before just kind of happened. This says a lot about what we do at night. Traditionally in Indian life, before television and movies, what would people do at night?
Watch a play.
Watch a play. What else? Hear a recitation.
Hear a story.
Right. So they would go to bed with that lila, the pastimes of Krishna or Ram, whatever, in their minds, which would make their puja the next day better. So things have changed considerably. And that tradition of hearing, it's still there and seeing the plays, but now it comes through television, which gives us so much variety to hear things that are not Krishna conscious. And that has an effect on us at night. So what we do in the evening, we should be a little careful about as far as possible. It does affect us. Who else? Yes.
From these seminars, this seminar and discussion with a partner, I've come to the realization that one thing that is important is that one needs to set aside time for japa. If you are doing time management, that is my resolution for this year, that japa needs specific time that you need to set aside.
Thank you. Very nice. Haribo.
Haribo.
You devotees are wonderful. You have this wonderful guru in your heart who's telling you all these things. Isn't that amazing? Krishna is so kind that he's giving us all this inspiration, how to serve him. And he stays with us all the time and we can tap into it. Isn't that amazing? Turn to everybody next to you and say, Prabhu, that's amazing. Okay, who else would like to share?
Actually, I'm a father of two, and what is happening is for chanting, I was worried that the chanting would be really affected. But on the other hand, Krishna gives everyone the equal opportunity. The reason I'm saying is, whenever we need to chant the devotion for my baby, for example, 3 a.m., then I do get up and let's complete my chanting. And I get again sleep. So the skills, you have to adjust based on the situations and based on the needs. So on all the whole Prabhupada's movement, whenever it gives, not only that, you can have an opportunity for brahmachari or you can have an opportunity for grihastha, but everybody has given the opportunity, but how we are going to utilize it, it's up to choice. So at the same time, even getting frustrated, rather make a time at 1 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, depends on your own skills. And I feel that sometimes I feel, oh, I'm chanting at 4 o'clock, again I have to sleep. But it is not because you need to again take rest of your body, so you need to sleep also. But on the other hand, you need to complete your chanting and any skills in the day.
Thank you. I think that resonates the point I was making, that we think we come to a certain level in chanting, we can't do any better, which is partially because of our external circumstances. And we think, well, these are the circumstances. These circumstances dictate how well I can chant. which has some validity because we're talking about creating a sacred space, but at the same time, we're ultimately the ones who are working with that environment. If you put two people in the same environment, do you think automatically their chanting will be the same? You know, some people say, oh, my life is so hard. If someone else did the same thing you did, they might say, oh, my God, your life is so easy. We can't just say circumstantially this is all that can be done, like you're saying. You work within the circumstances. I wrote a letter to Prabhupada, and I said, I had just come back from traveling, and I was the temple president. And as soon as I came back into the temple, it was a different atmosphere. I had to deal with practical matters, daily affairs, management, and so forth. Where when I was on the road, I was just preaching and traveling. I was with a few devotees. It was a very carefree, happy life. And so when I came back, I was very inspired. And that inspiration soon just went, just dealing with the drudgery of these, what seemed to me to be like just ordinary mundane activities. And I wrote a letter to Prabhupada and said, I can't really think of Krishna when I'm back at the temple. I'm so busy. It's just one thing after another after another. When I was on the road, just the open road, just chanting, preaching, I could think of Krishna. So I said, well, what's better? When I come back, should I do less so I can think of Krishna? Or should I do more and think less of Krishna? Because that's the way I understood it. That was my capability. Those were my parameters. So Prabhupada said, no, it's not really a question of doing less or more. And he told me how to think of Krishna. And then in looking at that, I thought that if Prabhupada said, yes, you should be on the road and that way you can think of Krishna, what would he have been saying? He would say, you're thinking of Krishna as circumstantial. And then my whole life I could blame circumstances on my lack of Krishna consciousness. Well, of course I'm not Krishna conscious. Anybody, here's where beliefs come in. As soon as you say anybody, that means you have a belief which is causing something negative. Anybody in that situation would of course not be Krishna conscious. So you've already planned it out. In that situation, you can't be Krishna conscious because that's what you believe. Anytime you catch yourself saying anybody, you've got a belief there that's directing a result that you've limited yourself. So in looking at Prabhupada's reply, he had to say, no, you can think of Krishna anywhere. You just have to depend on Krishna. He said, depend on Krishna, feel that you're not qualified, feel that if Krishna doesn't help you, everyone in the temple will leave, and you'll always be thinking of Krishna because you'll feel helpless, and that you need him. It's a perfect answer. So the same way with our japa, yes, some circumstances are more conducive. We're trying to find those. But we may have to squiggle around to create, you know, it may be, you know, you get off for lunch. I'm going to eat lunch in 15 minutes, and I'm going to go for a long walk, you know, and that'll be the best way for me to chant. It's maybe chanting is not so, I should do it in the morning, I can't, but you create the best you can with what you have. So that's very nice. Who else would like to share? Yes, let her go first and then. The mic's closer to you, so. Yeah, very nice. That's very good. Do what you can to whatever you can. Yes. We did a workshop, and one lady came. We did this exercise. So the workshop was three. The retreat is 5 days. The workshop is 3 days. So Friday night, I asked them to do this kind of chanting, and she made her intentions how she was going to do it, and she got so much out of it. On Sunday, she came back with this beautiful book, and had all her intentions and all her notes, and we do a lot of writing in the workshop, and all her realizations, and she was just cherishing it. So one of the purposes of the seminar was that I wanted to give you all a gift. And I thought, well, the best gift I can give you is something that will help your chanting. So the gift I'm giving you is what you've written on the paper. So if you want to go and retype it, put it in a book, put it on your wall, make wallpaper out of it, whatever, I suggest wallpaper. That way you won't forget. These are valuable jewels. And all the jewels came from you. You know what you have to do. I'm just helping you isolate. Who else would like to share? Vaisheshika. All right, thank you. Hare Krishna. This one devotee, he came up to me, he said, he was joking with me, he said, what do you have to say for yourself? And this is kind of a New York Jewish expression, you know, like, it's kind of like saying, well, what are you doing? You know, what's good about you, you know? How do you rate yourself, you know? What do you have to say for yourself? And, you know, like, boast, say something good, show me who you are. And I said, I'm a worm in stool. I said, you know, I was thinking, what am I supposed to say? You know, I'm supposed to go, I'm the best, I'm the great, I did this, I did that, I'm tops. And I said, I'm a worm in stool. And I said, you know, we should write a book. If you want to become the highest, think that you're the lowest. Because that's the nature of spiritual, it's always opposite. You want to get high, think you're low. And when you think you're high, what happens? Low. So that's very wonderful. So we could go on for a few more hours, but we're supposed to end by 10, and I also want to tell you about the Japa retreat. So I want to give you this little gem. Now that you know what you want to do, one thing that I have found to be particularly important, and basically you've come up with it. What's your name? Sonia. Basically, Sonia has come up with it. When we sit down to chant our rounds, if we're focused on what we want to achieve in our japa, and also what we don't want. I did an exercise, which we can't do now, but I did an exercise. You know Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, when, oh, when will that day be mine? When all my offenses cease, my taste for the name will increase. It was a hankering. What do I want? What do I want to achieve? When will I be running on the banks of the Ganges, half mad in ecstasy? He's looking forward to that, anticipating. You know, just like we may think, oh, I can't wait to take my vacation to the Bahamas. I can't wait to get the raise, you know, the new position. I can't wait to go back to India, see my family. We're always anticipating. So what are we anticipating in our chanting? And if we sit down before we chant with that meditation, this is what I want. This is where I'm going. You actually don't even have to think about what you don't want, because by automatically thinking what you want, what you don't want, it will not be there. You don't get rid of a bad habit by focusing on it. You focus on the opposite. So now you've made an intention. I want to chant in a certain way. I want to have my mind controlled. I want to be humble. So when you sit down to chant, before you chant that first round, just stop and focus on, like, what's the internal sacred environment? When my mind starts planning the day, what am I going to do? My intention is that comes later. After 7 o'clock, I'll think about it. I've made that intention. It's not allowed. Just like when you have kids, you're not allowed to touch that. You're not allowed to do this. You have to be in bed by 9 o'clock. So I do that with my mind. You're not allowed during japa to think about these things. It's not allowed. It's off limits. I create that intention. It's very powerful. Simple thing like that, just by telling your mind, you're not allowed to do that. Am I perfect at it? No. But what happens? Have you ever chanted? a round and realize at the end of the round you didn't hear the holy name once? Anyone ever done that? Ever chanted two rounds and do that? Four? Eight? 16? 6 years? 14 years? 36 lifetimes? It's quite possible. But when you make the intention, you catch it very quickly because you're so conscious that red flags start going off in your mind. Oh my God, I'm not hearing. I promised myself, I made the intention. When I started thinking about what I have to do today, I would stop my mind. When I started planning this new project, doing my books, thinking about the devotee who told me this yesterday, all these things, I stop. Because my intention is, I just want to hear the name. That's all I want to do. Because why? Because I'm going off the charts today in my japa. There was this one man who said something very profound that's always stuck with me. He said, never try to do something that you can do. Always try to do something that you think is impossible. Right? And that's why I'm telling you, I want you to chant better than you've ever conceived of. Because if I just told you to chant well, what would you do? How much would you improve? Tora, tora. Right? Only a little bit I'm improving. But if I say, just chant, like it's impossibly good, it'll force you to come to a higher level. And Krishna will give you the intelligence. And then you'll sit down and say, this is where I'm going. You just make that take that, it could take you 5 seconds just to sit down and just focus. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to taste the name. I'm going to be the bhav. There's going to be the focus. Just that. Even if that's all you did, 5 seconds to think of that, you'd be amazed at what happens to your japa. Well, to speak if you did it the night before and that morning. And every morning you go for the rest of your life, even if your chanting isn't good, you can always think, today it's going to be off the charts. Tomorrow, is it going to be off the charts? Maybe. Maybe not. It could actually be worse tomorrow. You could be trying harder. It could be worse. You don't know. But you don't give up. Right? You go for it again the next day. And what happens when you get in the japa zone? Then your plane starts to go up. And where do all your problems go when your plane goes up? Out the rear end. They just leave them in the dust, as we say. I guess as the cowboys say. As the bullock cart drivers say. We leave you in the dust of Vrindavan. Which is a good thing. Okay, we're going to leave the material desires in the dust of Vrindavan, and we're going. So, is that helpful? Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. So, are we going to chant a good japa tomorrow morning? Or if you haven't finished your rounds today? Yes? Okay, so, would it be all right if we take the next, 5-10 minutes to tell you about the japa retreat? Okay. Before I tell you, I would like to read you a few testimonials, which are amazing to me, even though I've been to 3 retreats. Oh, there's one other thing. I have to mention this. What does that say? So now you have techniques. We've gone over some techniques. But the reality is our lifestyle affects our chanting. Yes or yes?
Yes.
If you, late at night, watch a movie that has no relation with Krishna, it's probably going to have a little, it's going to affect you. It would be different if you read Bhagavatam. If the hour before you went to bed, you read Bhagavatam, or you watched a movie, or you did paperwork, or you know, different activities will affect you. How we relate with one another. Our whole lifestyle. Chanting is not in a vacuum. It's not, I'll just sit down and make my intention and chant well. Our whole lifestyle affects it. And you'll see with the 10 offenses, I think only one offense has anything to do with chanting, to be inattentive. Everything else is what you do when you're not chanting. But if you wanted to expand the 10 offenses, there's so many things we do which would be considered maybe not offensive, but having negative effects on our chanting. So this is the hardest part because we all have a lifestyle. We're not becoming pure devotees overnight, but it's important to be conscious, like this devotee was, like Akurnath was saying, what did he say when he, distributes books or does something? Then his chanting is better the next day. It all works. How many of you experienced that? You go preaching, distribute books, chanting the next day is like you don't even have to try, and it's just, you're in the zone. right? Isn't it? It's almost effortless. So the opposite is also true, that sometimes if we do the wrong thing, then we're doing everything we can to chant, and our mind is, it's still in Rajagun, and it has to be Satvagun to chant, right? So if we live a Rajagun life, and then we want to chant, then the mind is just, it's going everywhere. Satvagun is, so we need to live a more Satvagun life to improve our chanting. So that's, this is an important factor. This is the more difficult. This is the more difficult thing. This is, we can't just get to this in one seminar, but this is our whole life. So just understand that. So I would like to read you a few testimonials, which are very inspiring. One of the best experiences of my life, Ramapad Swami. Is that good or good? I mean, that's good, but coming from him, that's beyond good, right? That's amazing. And this one is also amazing. It cannot be compared to any other event that I have ever attended through many years. This is a Prabhupada disciple named Urvasi, Devidasi. It absolutely enhanced and altered my japa forever, which is interesting, because she wrote it 5 days after the retreat, so she was anticipating that it has altered it in the past, and from whatever she's done in the past, it's been altered, and she is expressing her feeling that it's going to be altered forever. It's never, you have an experience, where you say, I can never be the same now. Maybe, you got in an accident, you thought you were going to die. You say, my life's changed forever. Something like that. It was that powerful on her. It has helped my spiritual life more than anything else. This is a second generation devotee, Rasacharya. It was the most powerful and important event in my spiritual life since in my initiation 27 years ago. That's pretty heavy. Let me explain why someone would say this. What he's really saying is, I had the most powerful experience in my life with Krishna's name. That's what they're all saying. It's not the retreat that they're saying is so great. They're saying the experience I have with the holy name. One of the best experiences of my life means one of the best experiences of chanting in my life. It cannot be compared to any other event. It cannot be compared to any other chanting I've ever done. What the retreat does, it facilitates your ability to go, for most devotees, to go more deeply in their chanting than they've ever gone in their life. And that's why they're saying, this changed my life. I've never gone that deep. We started about 8 o'clock. We've been going about 2 hours now. Has what we've done in these 2 hours been helpful for you?
Yes.
Has it been very helpful?
Yes.
Okay, now imagine continuing this for another 5 days. Could you imagine? You've gone pretty far in 2 hours. Where would you go in 5 days? That's why they're saying this. You're dealing with one thing for 5 days, your relation with the holy name, and all day you're being helped to go deeper, deeper, deeper. So what happens is, Wednesday night it begins, Thursday we start going over practices like this, Friday we take a mona brat. A mona what?
Brat.
Brat means what? Vow. And mona means what?
Silence.
Probably most of us have never done this. If you've never done a mona brat in your life, definitely you should do it. If you've never chanted 64 rounds in your life, definitely you should do it. On Friday, we do mona brat, 64 rounds. No one speaks. The only time we speak is during class if there's discussion or questions. After that, there's no speaking. There's only chanting. We've been set up from Wednesday evening through all day Thursday to go into this. We begin in the morning. We make our intention. We pray for everyone. And then we go 64 rounds. The next day, it is amazing what happens the next day. Nobody's the same. I swear, nobody's the same on Saturday morning. Everyone's transformed by the holy name. And once you do the 64 rounds, you think, oh my God, 16 rounds isn't enough. You actually feel that way. Because you go so deep. You go, Prabhupada said 16 rounds is the minimum. Maybe some of you are not chanting 16 and you think 16 is a lot. When you do 64 rounds, I can guarantee you will have full 100% realization of 16 rounds is the bare minimum. You will feel 16 rounds is just enough to get me over the hump. After you do six, you go so deep in doing 64 rounds. On that Saturday, if you saw the devotees, if you came there that Saturday morning, you'd be go, what have they been smoking? I mean, that's what it looks like. Everyone is, like, most devotees have not chanted 64 rounds. Most devotees were extremely nervous about it, doubtful they could do it, very apprehensive, fearful going into that day. And they go through it. One devotee, that I knew from living in Texas, he revealed to me that evening, he said, I have never chanted 64 rounds in my life. I didn't think I could do it. I was very worried about it. I thought I would get completely bored and sidetracked. He said, when I got to 64, I could not stop. I chanted 87 rounds that day. So, if you understand the reason, we are all not living at home. We are living together out in the desert. In this case, this is going to be out in the desert in a place called Joshua Tree outside of Palm Springs. We're living in a retreat center, which is very nice rooms, very nice meeting places. That's all that's going on. There's only talking about the holy name, chanting the holy name, devotees, and prasadam. That's all. Srila Prabhupada said, we don't need money, we don't need buildings. We don't need this, and we don't need that to spread Krishna consciousness or to be Krishna conscious. He said, all we need are the devotees and the holy name. That's all we need. If you took everything else away, of course we need prasadam. So japa retreat are only those three things. It's the devotees, it's the holy name, and it's prasadam. And that's all we need. So that's what these realizations are reflecting, a deep, deep experience with chanting. It was probably the kindest thing that I have ever done for myself. Now we're talking here, we began by saying, by you telling me that you don't give the holy name the priority that it deserves in your life. Now, if you give yourself 5 days to focus on chanting, that means you're giving the holy name complete priority in your life. There's nothing else in your life for those 5 days. And that's why the devotee said, it was the kindest thing I ever did in my life. We deserve to give ourselves rounds that come out positive. Yes or yes?
Yes.
That's what we deserve. We don't deserve to give ourselves rounds that produce negative effects. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. This is one of the most positive experiences you can ever have. This is what you're giving yourself. You're dousing yourself with nectar. So, does that sound interesting?
Yes.
Yes. Giriraj Swami, how many of you know Giriraj Swami? He said it was one of the most profound things and beneficial things he has ever done in his life. Now, here's a person who had tremendous amounts of association with Srila Prabhupada, who's never been married, who took sannyas, maybe, well, I forget, 25 years ago, who has disciples, who's preached all over the world, who's very deep, I don't know if you know him, he's a very deep thinker and very, very pure person. So somebody's saying this is one of the most profound and life-changing events in my life. That's a very powerful statement. Coming from him, it's even more powerful. It's quite amazing. I was amazed when he said that. I mean, I experienced that at the retreat, but coming from him and his status, I found that amazing. So that's what you can expect. So the retreat begins on February 6th, which is Wednesday evening. Joshua Tree is about 2 hours east of Los Angeles. I don't know. If there's a shorter way to get there from here. Begins February 6th, it's a Wednesday evening with prasadam, and then we have a little inauguration program. And then Thursday we start in the morning and we go through Sunday afternoon about 1, 1:30, 2 o'clock, we leave. So it's really 4.5 days, but it starts Wednesday evening because we want to end Sunday early so you can get back. So you basically would miss 2.5 to 3 days of work if you came. And so this is what I've told. It's a very beautiful area. I haven't been there. I think I may go there tomorrow. It's a retreat center. What a retreat center is, it's meant for people to come. They have nice rooms. They have a nice eating facility. And they have nice rooms for meeting, which are very conducive for the kind of work we do. And it's out in nature, so there's nothing there. There's nothing around. You're out in the desert. And these kinds of retreats are popular with other yoga institutes. I don't know if you're familiar. There's one in Big Sur, Echelon. There's a place called Omega, East Coast in Boston. There's a place called Kripalu. And then the Himalayan Institute. They all have these retreats and centers. And my wife went to Kripalu to do what was called a yogini retreat for 5 days. Some of the leaders in the yoga world came and did training. And I forget exactly what we paid, but I think for those 5 days, the room and board, not considering the class, was about $1,000, just the room and board. And then the class was like $500, $600, $800. So for something like this, the equivalent, if you did it outside of ISKCON, would be in that range, you know, $1,500, $2,000. That's just the going rate. So sometimes devotees say, we're charging $550, and they wonder why. But if you compare it to what you have to pay for 5 days somewhere else, you're up. I mean, they can go up higher. Maybe $1,200, $1,000 might be the bottom, but they can go up high depending who's going to be there. So we have to rent the retreat center. We have to rent the whole place, and we have to, you know, it's expensive, and then we have to feed the devotees. Then we fly in the facilitators, about 3 or 4 people are flown in. And we have a company, a nonprofit, which is called Bhagavat Life, and there are 5 of us working, and we have an office. So we're working on this. We're doing this full time. So in order to be able to do all this, we had to come up with a fee which would basically be what is sufficient for us to keep going, at the same time make it reasonable. So we came up with a fee of $550. If you sign up today, then it goes up to 6,000. No. Actually, I was trained to do seminars. You want me to show you how they do it? This is how they do it. They get the board, and they go, this seminar, anywhere you go, anything like this, 5 days retreat center, this nice, cost you $3,000 to $5,000. And I cross it out. We're not going to charge you $3,000 or $5,000. We're only going to charge you $19.99. But because I love you so much, we're only going to charge you $12.99. And because I'm dear with Vaisheshika, we're only going to charge you $9.99. And if you sign up right now, we're only going to charge you $7.99. But if I did that to you, you'd be going, oh my God, what is he doing? But the idea is that we had to come up with a fee which was reasonable enough that we could continue our work. Because if we did a couple retreats and we actually lost money, we didn't get enough people. So, you know, it's a gamble. We have to pay in advance for a retreat center. We don't know how many people are going to come. And it's, you know, they're $10,000, $15,000 to rent, plus the prasadam and so forth. So that's why we come up with this fee. So the deadline actually passed, but because I wasn't here before the deadline, not the deadline to register, but the deadline for early registration, which is, I think, $50 less. I think it's like $5.95 after January 10th or something. But because I didn't come till today, then the devotee named Divyambar, who's organizing, said if they just register this weekend, then they can register for less. So I have registration forms which you can take, or the website is on. Yeah, it's Bhagavat Life. Bhagavat without A at the end. You can register online, you can fill out a form. But the thing she mentioned was, it's not that you register and get the lower fee, you have to actually pay when you register to get the lower fee. Because some people register and they pay later. Because they're devotees. We can't figure out why that happened. Well, I got the registration, but nobody paid. She goes, I don't know what they're thinking or when they're going to pay, you know. So anyway, she said, tell them, they want to get the lower fee when they register. Registration means paying. So what I could say is this. Sometimes devotees ask me who should come to the japa retreat. And I say, everyone who has a bead bag should come to the japa retreat. Now, why would I say that? Because if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you need help in improving your chanting. Like I said, 2 hours made a big difference. what the speaker finds. Everyone who chants needs help. Giri Ashwami is saying, one of the most profound events of my life, even he, who's such a deep person, he was helped. Let's speak of ourselves. So everyone who has a bead bag should come. Okay? I encourage you, do whatever you can to come. You will never regret it. The only thing you're going to regret is one thing. There's one really bad part of the Japa retreat, and it happens on Sunday. And this is like, it's like miserable. Right at the end of the Japa retreat, we sit in a circle. We've been there 5 days together, and everyone is expressing what happened to them in 5 days. And they're just pouring their heart out, sharing their realizations and feelings, right? And after that, it ends. And everyone just sits there and says, I don't want to go. I don't want it to end. This was like the sweetest thing I've ever done. I've done all my salesmanship. No more salesmanship. This is just exactly the experience. But everybody is sitting there, and they're just relishing what happened. He said, I've never experienced the Holy Name on this level. The openness, the sharing with the devotees, the introspection. We ask questions that make you go in, just like I did today. Ask you some questions that will make you think about your chanting, what you can do to improve. So we look at these things, and we share that. So there's a lot of honest and open sharing in the group and helping one another. So by the end, everyone's feeling this, I don't want to leave. This is too sweet. It's too nice. So that's the one bad thing about the retreat. It has to end. But we developed Japa Retreat Level 2. Aren't you happy? Yeah. So you get to come back to Level 2. And Level 2, we chant 64 rounds 2 days. It's one extra day. And in Level 1, we go into the basics, like what we're doing here, you know, the practical things, the sacred space. Level 2, we go more deeply into understanding more about our relationship with Krishna and what his name means. Go more deeply into humility. You know, so we actually connect on a deeper level with things that are important to improve our chanting. And then, you'll be happy to know, if there's a demand, we'll go to Level 3. And our goal is to get to probably Level 5 or 6 where we don't talk. We just, every day is 64 rounds. And every evening is kirtan. And that's all we do. How do you think that would be? Actually, one devotee already did that. He's not in ISKCON, but he did that. And what he told me was that their schedule was class in the morning, 64 rounds, Mona Brat, sharing in the evening, and kirtan. And he said each evening the kirtans were getting sweeter, because you can imagine if you're chanting all day and you're going to kirtan, you're pretty much in the right frame of mind to really give yourself to Krishna. So he said by the third or fourth day, because the kirtans were getting so ecstatic, he said, they'd come to sharing, everybody said, forget the sharing, let's just do kirtan. Because the taste was getting so strong. So it was class in the morning, 64 rounds, kirtan. And you could imagine the kirtan was just going and going and going. So this is what we have to look forward to. So if there's any possible way that you can come, just do it. And if you can't come, just come anyway. Whatever you have to do to arrange to come, when you're there and you do it, you'll come up and thank me. Because this happens all the time. Say, thank you, Prabhu, for forcing me to come. There's no one who has ever said, Mahatma, give me my money back. You forced me to come. I didn't work for 3 days. You know, my wife's at home with the kids. When I get back, there'll be pots and pans flying on my head. No one's ever said that. I actually have devotees I know. I just go up to them and say, Prabhu, you're going. There's no way. You're just going. And they just go, okay. You know, so I don't have a relationship with you, but if I could do that, I would say, Prabhu, just go. Just don't think. Don't worry about it, just go. And of course, I know that's not possible for all of you, but do what you can. And if you can't, of course, we'll have other retreats, and we may even discuss doing something here in the future. So I don't know, you know, either a weekend program. Now what's happening also is a lot of people who are coming to Japa retreats, level 1, when we didn't have level 2, they would just come back and do level 1 again. They're becoming addicted. So I just have to warn you, it is addicting. People keep coming back. And then we do little workshops, which are 3 days. And then people who've been to Japa retreats, they go to workshops. But we want to get you addicted. This is the whole idea. We want to continually do courses and more courses that will help us in our spiritual life. So I have here, if you need, of course you can go online, but if you need, there are forms here which you can come and get, which are registration forms, which are basically if you want to mail that in. Either you can write in a credit card number or you can send it by mail. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come here. I had a wonderful time. This is, I haven't been in San Jose since about 1986. So I like seeing, I've heard so many wonderful things about all of you and your book distribution, which is always amazing to me and inspiring. And all your innovative ideas, which are even more inspiring, because I can see there's a bright future. And Vaish and I always talk about innovation, and he's always asking me to help. So somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, I was able to come here. And hopefully we can continue more in the future. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.